Every time our athletes walk into this weight room, they're going to be pushed to the max.
Let's go! Let's go! Let's go!
The barbell hasn't changed in over 100 years. I can take a 25-pound plate, and we'll go out on the turf, and I'll have you hating life. We talk about straining your gut, pushing past that comfort level. I want a lot of energy.
What better breeding ground is there for being a success in life than the weight room?
Hey guys, welcome back to Iron Game Chalk Talk. I'm your host, Rob McKeefer, and this is episode number 320. I want to thank you for listening each week. Appreciate those of you that like, share, comment. Just helps us continue to help and highlight the great people that we have in our profession. Also want to specifically thank our sponsor, Train Heroic, for bringing these episodes to you for free. I only partner with companies that I believe in, both the people and the product, and Train Heroic is something I use every single day. And the people there are fantastic. So if you're in the market, reach out to them. If not, just let them know how much you appreciate them the next time you see them at a conference. This week, I'm joined by Cody Hughes. He's the head strength coach at Madison Academy. He's going into his second year there. We're just talking off camera. He's been a long time adopter of Iron Game Chalk Talk, which is cool. But he's doing some great things there and wanted to get on and talk a little bit about high school strength and conditioning. So, Cody, I appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Coach. It's an honor.
Cody, I know you've been, let's see here, I think McNeese State, you were at a performance facility out in Colorado, I think. I know you did an internship at Mississippi State, I believe, right, with Nick. Mm-hmm. I think there's a couple other stops, West Alabama or something, you know, somewhere else in there. Which one of those stops best prepared you for the position that you're in now?
Man, that's a tough question. You know, you hear all these people answer this question in different ways, that every single place you take a little bit of something else, right? You take something from every place and every mentor that you have, and it shapes you as you go. My biggest experience would probably be McNeese State, but I think I'd be remiss if I didn't hit the two other places I was at before that, and I'm just going to be short with it. You know, as I graduated, went into an internship with Mississippi State and Nick Savage and his staff, I didn't have any idea what it was. I was a Division II baseball player in college, didn't have a strength coach, didn't even really know it existed until probably a couple months before. I got to see an insight, and I'm going to shout out one of my mentors, Riley Allen, who's at Ole Miss now, kind of pulled me aside and started to say, hey, this is what it's about. You know, this is what we want you to do. And then also helped me realize little things matter in strength conditioning, like getting the field set up, right, being able to record things and having things in order. And it takes a whole group of guys to be able to do this job well. And then I went on to be a GA at West Alabama, probably my main mentor, where I started to learn programming. And I got a lot of opportunity and a lot of responsibility really quick. I was the first ever GA at that university. He's got a lot of respect in Division II football. You know, I've put out a lot of NFL players at West Alabama, like Malcolm Butler and some other guys. But, you know, I got five teams after being an intern for 3 months, so I had to learn time management down there. So time management was huge there, and making a ton of mistakes programming-wise and coaching-wise with people, and learning how to communicate with coaches. That was probably big at West Alabama. But what made McNeese State so emphatic for me as far as learning of where I'm at today is that, man, it changed my life because I realized where my shift was and where I wanted to be in my career. I was newly married. We packed up. Me and my wife, we moved to Southwest Louisiana, where we didn't know a single soul. And I thought I was in the big time, man. I was a Division I full-time strength coach. Here I am doing it. Boy, I'm wearing a cool logo on my chest. I get to go to some cool places, you know, things I always dreamed of. And then I looked up 6 months later, I'm working 80-hour weeks, not making the money enough to support my family, and my marriage is declining relationship-wise. And I had to ask myself a really tough question. Is this what you really want? You know, I really applaud the guys and the coaches around the country that make this work in their family dynamic, because I know it's tough. And that was huge for me and my wife. So I made a decision to try to go in another section of strength conditioning. And that's when I moved to Colorado and was at a performance facility up there. And that's when things hit the fan for me, because that venture actually didn't work out. I feel like I got brought out on some false pretenses and wasn't there for very long, and I was literally 2 weeks away from being a milkman delivery driver before I got this job at Madison Academy. You know, out in Colorado, they still hand deliver cow's milk to people's doorstep, you know, and I was about to drive a truck and do that to pay the bills, and and realize, man, you know what? Family's more important than anything. You know, this job's fun. And but at McNeese, down in Louisiana, is where I finally feel like I opened my eyes a little bit to, I got to keep the main thing the main thing. So, you know, I'm here in Huntsville, Alabama now, about 40 minutes away from my wife's family. I get to do this at the high school level, which is super rewarding. And very thankful that I have this opportunity, because I think this is where I really fit. So,
yeah, I mean, as you know, I talk about it on the show often, that you got to make the big time where you're at. And you know, that's that cool logo, that, you know, those police escorts to the airport and things like that. I mean, that's cool. It's definitely, it's an experience. But when you really take stock in your life and you look back, those aren't going to be the things that you remember, you know, and your home team, especially once you start having kids and things like that. I mean, that's, your home team's the number one team. If it's not the number one team, then whatever team you're working with isn't going to be worth a salt, you know, because you're not going to be at your best. And so I applaud you for that. It takes a lot of guts and courage, especially young in the career, to, like you said, make the main thing the main thing. That's, you know, it takes a lot of insight. So I applaud you for that.
It took me, you know, a lot of, it was hard. I'm not going to say this was easy, right? I had to, because I tried to tell myself, like, no, this is what you signed up for. This is what you want to do. You want to go be this, you know, you want to coach in the SEC. You want to do all these things. And like, I'm not going to sit here and act like it was easy. Like, I just, oh, I made the right decision. No, it was hard, man. It took a long time to finally look in the mirror. I mean, I have a son now. I have a 3-month-old. Mm-hmm. And I look back, if I would have had my son where I was at then, I feel like, you know, it's a gut punch, you know, because you're right. Because I, now that I do have a son, I know that, man, nothing's better than being able to go home every day at 4:30 and pick him up and get to hang out with him. You know, it's pretty awesome for my side.
100%. Yeah, I think so many times as coaches and you know, it's, when we're chasing this and you're in it, it doesn't, you know, there's a million good things about high level strength and conditioning. I mean, the exposure my kids got to multiple personalities, multiple cultures, high level, high functioning people. I mean, you can never replace that.
Right.
But that said, I think there's also this kind of badge, this, you know, this, where we think that we're martyrs almost by, you know, not taking vacation and not, you know, and living 16 hours in the weight room and things like that. And
right,
we've got a lot to work to do. We got a lot of work to do as a profession, to improve upon those types of things. And the job is the job, you know, but you mentioned it earlier. We'll maybe dig into that a little bit more. But time management is an area that I think most strength coaches fail miserably, and most coaches fail miserably. And so we have to improve upon that and try to push the envelope forward. And that means researching those things outside of sets and reps and, you know, all the things that we like to read about and went to school for, you know, so. Yeah. It's going to be some work. I know, you know, I'm not even going to ask you the biggest mistake, but because I think you wrapped it up into that story, and you corrected it in that regard. But I think, you know, talk a little bit about that grass is greener, right? I mean, I think, you know, chasing jobs. I know you chased a job out in Colorado. It didn't work out. And you heard me talk about being the big time where you're at. I mean, you're at a high school now. It's, you know. You know, in college, you know, that redshirt freshman, even though sometimes, you know, you want to smack them around and be like, oh my God, I can't believe you're struggling with this movement or whatever. But like when you get into a high school setting, there is literally some people that can't walk and chew gum at the same time, you know? So like, how did you change your mentality to be able to be in an environment to where you're not dealing with, you know, even your best athletes are going to be athletes that may not go on to play college, you know? So how do you change your mentality to where you find that you're not chasing the greener pastures?
Well, you know, a lot of it has to do with self-awareness. At some point, you know, there's a huge issue in our field right now, at least I think, of how are we evaluated as strength coaches, right? And a lot of times we're evaluated on wins and losses at the college level that you can't control, right? And I think you said it in your book, it's not – if you'll get fired, it's a win if you stay in it long enough, right? So our identity is formed around what, right? And a lot of the times our identity was wrapped up in a logo. It was for me, absolutely. You know, I got to wear that Mississippi State logo even as an intern. I wasn't getting paid, but I got to walk around that facility with that on my chest, and it made me feel like I belonged to something important, right? And that's what I thought I was after. And at the end of the day, that's not our job. Our job is to serve people, right? Our job is to help people get better at what they're doing, and strength conditioning happens to be that vehicle. It took some tough conversations with my wife and understanding that what's going to make us happy in our life. Because at some point, like, I can walk away from a logo and that logo is going to stay there. I just happened to be a part of it in that kind of time. And then I look back to my college career. Like, I wore 22 when I pitched in college. I go back. Guess what? When I'm on campus there, somebody else is wearing that number now. It lives on. I'm gone. So this isn't about me, right? I started to realize I am so much happier when I am in a good spot at home with my family, and I'm just helping other people see themselves get better at what they do. You know, like, and I come to this high school setting and realize, one, if I really know my stuff, I should be able to teach this to anybody. Now, how we can change and regress and progress our system and our movements, however I want to put that on, right? However I want to implement that, it's just on a smaller level, right? But progress is what we're looking for. The thing I love about this weight room at the high school level is that I get these kids that aren't motivated by scholarship. They're definitely not motivated by the NFL, like a lot of guys, you know, that are they're working hard to because they're so close to that next step. I've got kids that are forced to take my class by their coach or simply because they have to take PE as a ninth grader. How do I create an environment to make them enjoy physical training? Because physical training is already hard enough. How do I create a relationship with these kids to know that physical training can be so good for your life and we can have fun doing it? And you want to talk about reward. When I saw a kid, a ninth grade kid that's not an athlete, and after ninth grade, at least here in the state of Alabama, you don't have to take PE anymore. He signs up for my class in 10th grade because, you know what, I just want to be in the weight room with Coach Hughes because, one, training's fun and I like working out, but I like being around that guy. I like being around him. That is the biggest reward. So when I start taking and evaluating myself, you know, I don't have wins and losses to evaluate myself. I have people to evaluate myself. When I leave the room, does it change? When I'm not here, do people talk about me? You know, I don't know if it was you that said it, but some people say the mark of a good intern at a big time facility is if the intern's not there, are the players asking, hey, where's so-and-so? Can you be noticed in a way that in a very impact people's lives in such a positive way and help serve? That's the greatest thing I can do, man. It has changed my life completely and being able to see the progress over time now. Because look, man, I jumped to place to place to place. I jumped it faster than a lot of coaches. I went GA 9 months, full-time Division I 9 months. I went to private sector 5 months. Now I've actually been in one spot for more than a year for the first time in my entire career to where I can finally see people evolve. And I'm like, man, like, I was just so caught up in climbing the ladder, I forgot about people. And yeah, that was, when you talk about biggest mistake, that was my number one. My focus is in the wrong spot, but as far as being rewarded, seeing people evolve, not just physically, but mentally and spiritually, and helping them make great decisions in life and showing them that through the weight room, because, you know, getting results in the weight room takes hard work and suffering in a way. And if they can learn to make great decisions when things get tough, I'm going to see them be great fathers, be great husbands, be great members of society. And there's not a better feeling in the world. I can't wait till when I'm in this thing for 10, 15 years, and I'm sure you've experienced it. Former athletes, students, players come back and go, Coach, man, you remember when you said that one time? Or you remember that thing you tried to teach me? And I know what you mean now. You know, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, those are the best moments and the ones that you'll find, you know, that mean the most to you. You think that it's going to be those elite athletes, and there's those moments too. But, you know, I mean, I got a call from two interns the other day, or not two interns, but two walk-ons the other day, that are doctors now, that were together at a doctor's conference, and they're calling me from the hotel bar, telling old Coach Mac stories. You know, I mean, nice. That's the kind of stuff that, you know, really is meaningful and impactful. And when you get back to it, what we're all evaluated about when we leave this planet, whenever that is the legacy that we left in some capacity. And you know, we have an opportunity, we have a platform as strength and conditioning coaches to affect a lot of people that way when, mm-hmm. you know, when a lot of people don't have that opportunity. And so it's the old Spider-Man quote, right? With great responsibility or great, you know, opportunity becomes great responsibility or however that goes.
Yep.
You gotta take that on. I know, you know, I think a lot of coaches, especially young coaches, when you're searching to try to find who you are, you know, you often become a reflection of your experiences, right? So if you work for a screamer, you start screaming because you think that that's coaching, or, you know, if you're, you know, loving them up all the time, maybe that's it. I guess when you get to an environment, especially as a head strength coach, where you get to decide who you are and how you're going to act, you got to figure that out, you know, and especially at a high school setting where, you know, like, you probably, you know, if you scream a little too loud, you know, if you play the music a little too loud, there's probably somebody pounding at the door, you know. what advice do you have to another young coach that's seeking out, you know, a role like your own, about how to determine how they're going to be?
You know, I know that we evolve from the environments that we spend in. You know, one of the best stories I tell people is that, you know, I went to Mississippi State for 3 months and it was very high intense in the SEC. And I took that mentality to Little West Alabama to the volleyball team. And they were looking at me like, dude, you need to chill out. I was like, what do you mean? Like, this is what it is. And I had to learn, like, no, it's not. Right. So the biggest thing is what is the people that you need at the place that you're serving? What do they need? Right. How can you best serve them with what you're good at? Right. So you don't try to be somebody that you're not. You know, I'm guilty of that. Trying to pretend like you're something that you're not good at. Right. Take your skill set and be really good at what you know you can do. Admit what you don't know and then go seek answers for that to keep building those tools. And to make sure that you coach the person, not just the athlete, you know, like a lot of people say you don't know what it's like till you sit in the big chair and start making decisions. Right. I remember as an assistant, I'll admit, you know, when I was an assistant even at West Alabama or at McNeese, I always go, man, why is coach, why is our head coach doing this? Like, man, we need to be doing this, this, and this. Well, you don't understand all of the other things that are happening. You know, like when I came to the high school, you know, like what type of music you play really matters. You know, at high school, you're not worried about the head coach coming to your office and explaining something. You're more worried about the email from a parent that you're going to get. Worried that you just hurt somebody's feelings really bad. You'd embarrass the ninth grade kid who's already not very emotionally mature. How you communicate to them isn't the same way that I was communicating to my college athletes. That was a huge lesson I had to learn in the first couple months when I got here was, man, you get these kids every day. In college, there's always this time cramp, right? You get 8 weeks in the summer. We got to get ready for camp. We got to go. We got to go. We got to go. It's so fast here. Like, these kids are taking my class every day for an entire year. Man, I can slow it down and get to know the kid and let them get to know me. Right. And then figure out how we can mesh and communicate and how can I speak their language and get on their level and find out what they need in order to serve them. Because a lot of times kids, they'll say something, but they'll mean something else. You know, I bet as a father, you probably know that the most. Like, they're saying this, but they're really screaming something else. How can we decipher that? How can we discern that and say, well, I know what he's saying. He's probably saying this because he doesn't want to be embarrassed in front of all of his friends. Let's either pull them in privately or let's talk to a coach. Let's communicate to a parent. And it takes all of that before I even think about a set or a rep, you know, like,
right.
I would just not focus so much on the technical skills and coach the person more than the athlete. You know, that's probably the biggest, I know we'll probably get to, you ask biggest coach's advice, but if you can really focus on the person, because I made a big mistake as a strength coach thinking you prescribe sets and reps and volume and all of this, and you don't take in consideration where they spend their other 23 hours of their day, right? Where are they getting at home? Are they staying up all night? How's their home life, right? Are they coming from nothing, right? Are they getting stressed in other areas? Is school tough? Once I started thinking about those things and started listening and seeing behaviors and patterns, it made me a much better coach.
Yeah, agreed. You know, one of the things that I'm often saying on this show is that I think this one of the single best things that we can do as a profession is to collectively push to get a strength coach in every high school. I mean, if we want to really grow this profession, working, you know, and advocating for a high school strength coach is super important for development, for all the positive qualities that a strength coach brings beyond just human performance. But it means also more jobs and more, you know, more research and more education and better quality across the board. You're in a great situation where they, you know, they actually allocated funds for a strength coach and they created a full-time position. But what would your advice be to those that are listening on, hey man, you know, what Cody's preaching, I love that. I need to spend more time with my family and I need the opportunity to make an impact on kids like that. I want to be at that level. What are the steps? Like, what needs to happen here to create more jobs and to find the ones that already exist?
One of the best things you can do is join in with the association, man. NHSSCA is a great association. I'm sure that you're involved with and know of. If you can get involved with them, because community is what's going to help. That's how we're going to be really powerful. We're going to be really powerful in number, you know, being able to have a great, strong network in this niche. I would start there. The next is get to know your community. Because the biggest problem I see right now is I see a lot of private schools going this way, right? Like, I'm in a private school where they're not regulated by the state, where most state, you know, state-funded schools, you have to have a teacher certification in order to teach, right, in order to be able to be employed. Where do we bridge that gap, right? How do we bridge the gap from being able to have somebody with a lot of exercise science and exercise physiology, either degree or, you know, a lot of knowledge or that type of qualification versus the actual education part that people go to school for and get, you know, the credential to teach at a high school level. I think that's missing, right? Where do we find both, right? I don't know. I know a lot of people have to go back and get their physical education credential, but a lot of those spots get filled up by sport coaches. You know, that's why sport coaches got originally put in the weight room in high schools, is because there's only so many physical education spots. We want, instead of two coaches on the baseball field, we want three. You know, we need another football assistant coach to coach ninth grade or to coach JV. But where do we put them during the school day? Well, we'll stick them in the weight room. Well, you know, we know that that can always lead to bad things, because their knowledge there is not going to be like their knowledge is on the football field. See, I don't want to blame sport coaches when they don't know, right?
Right.
A lot of coaches that really care, they'll do their research, but they're still not going to be doing the job well like someone who's truly qualified. I know a lot of strength coaches that are taking jobs and have to coach a sport along with it. Like, that comes with it. In my territory, thank goodness, our administration here, I have a wonderful president and a wonderful principal that both were former coaches that said, you know what, in my interview process, they said, we don't want you to coach because that's not where you're going to serve. We want you to be available to everybody. Be our strength coach. I don't need you to coach football. I don't need you to coach baseball. We want you to be you because they call my course here Life Fitness because they think you get more life skills out of my class. I'm so fortunate to have support in administration, you know, for my position. If we can get administrators to get on board with, you know, the benefits that come with a qualified strength coach, other than just the physical side, and then make steps in how we bridge the gap educationally as far as qualified goes with state legislature. That's the only way that I can think that we can start creating more jobs. But it starts with relationships with those people. I don't think we're ever going to get there by fighting fire with fire, you know, saying, oh, this is crap. Don't ever say there's not enough money. Well, just sitting back and yelling and screaming and whining about it, it's not going to do anything. You know, don't come with us with problems. Come with us with a solution. Right, my dad always told me that. He's like, is there a problem? Yes. Like, you got a solution? No, sir. Then why'd you come to me with a problem? He used to say that all the time.
Exactly.
So if we can find ways to articulate and speak their language, because they can't speak our jargon. Like, we really make that mistake of trying to speak over people's heads sometimes. If we can speak their language and how it applies to the benefit of the actual student, then I think that's where we'll start making, you know, start making some leeway and gaining some ground.
Yeah, I agree. You know, again, I often talk about this subject, but, you know, we're not going to just stand from afar and be able to tell people how great and all the additional things that strength and conditioning coaches bring to the table outside of human performance. you know, we can't talk about team camaraderie or motivation or life skills or whatever, right? Because they think that those things are being met and addressed already, you know, and they're not, you know. And so what we have to do is we have to create opportunities so that we can demonstrate what we do. So whether or not that you go in as a coach, you know, have a sport coach and then do weight, you know, strength and conditioning, you know, on the side or a part of that, or you teach PE and or health and wellness or whatever it is, you got to get in and then you got to create opportunities from within. And too many times we want to throw our hands up and be like, where's our jobs? And this field was born out of a, you know, a group of coaches that said, you think it's bad to lift weights. We think it's good to lift. We think it's good to lift weights for performance. So we're going to go out. We're going to create some opportunities for you to see that. Are you there?
You there? Yeah. Sorry. You went in and out there. Sorry, coach.
Yeah. So I was just saying that, you know, you gotta demonstrate those skills before they start to create those opportunities
right.
for full time. And, you know, you're going to be a slash position early on, but then you can work your way to it. And I think that's probably what happened at Madison. You know, there were slash right. positions and there became kind of a transition coach. And then there was a full-time strength coach. And so I agree with that. You answered the best piece of coaching advice. But, you know, give us a book, app, website recommendation.
Oh, man, I have so many books that I could give, especially outside of strength conditioning. Probably going to have to go with the, I mean, it's cliche, but Extreme Ownership is one of the best books I've ever read. I know it's on almost everybody's lists. I've probably had to read it 3 or 4 times, to really get it. But there's another book I want to throw out that actually my principal gave me that has nothing to do with strength conditioning. It's called Fearless. If I could look up real quick who it's by, I need to make sure, because I actually have lended that book out to somebody else, kind of a legacy thing. Let me see if I can
find Eric something, right? Eric.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. Eric Blehm, B-L-E-H-M. It's about a guy, a soldier who made unbelievable sacrifices and a guy that had a drug problem. I couldn't put that book down. There's a lot of strength coach books that I like that I read and it was good, but this book I read in less than 48 hours, you know, because it was so powerful and it related to me about how to treat people, right? And how to look at people. So if I was to recommend a book, you know, outside of that leadership realm or something that would I think everybody would enjoy, it would be that book. As far as app goes, you know, everybody likes to use things like Coach's Eye or Huddle Technique and use that to really help with communication with your athletes. I use just my camera on my iPhone that has slow-mo, right? Like, yeah. Hey, let me show you what it is, because, like, my words, you might not be able to hear it, but you might be able to see it. Therefore, you may be able to feel it, right, be able to have movements better. And I use Twitter all the time, man. Twitter is what helped me connect to a lot of different coaches and ask questions and dig deep on a lot of concepts I wasn't good at. And a lot of people really led me in the right direction. And especially for like management, as now that I'm a head strength coach, fundraising and budgeting and managing time, like seeing coaches that I saw were doing a great job with that. I'm social media, man. If you can use it in a good way, it can really help you. So,
agreed. Yeah, 100%. Well, man, like I said earlier, I think there's extreme maturity, extreme, I'd say ownership and understanding and recognizing that your family is the most important thing, you know, and for you to recognize that early in your career, not be intoxicated by the logos and all those types of things. Go to a place that you can make a tremendous impact each and every day. I mean, ultimately, that's what it's all about. And I talk a lot about kind of a job, a career, and a vocation. And you know, jobs are whatever jobs you have to do. Like you talk about being potentially a milkman just to be able to do what you want to do. That's a job. You know, a career is a strength and conditioning coach, and that's, you know, but you know those things can be taken from you in this profession easier than the others. But a vocation is actually what you do and making an impact on people's lives and helping them be high performers. That's a vocation, and that can be done anywhere at any time. And you're doing that on a daily basis, man. And I appreciate that. And, you know, I share your passion for trying to grow the profession at the high school level. Cause I think that, you know, I know my kids would have benefited from that in a much bigger way. If they would have had a high school strength coach.
Right.
So appreciate you coming on the show, man.
Yep. Thank you so much, man. It was an honor. Loved it.
That's it for this episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk. Thanks to this week's guest, as well as our sponsors, for bringing this episode to you for free. Make sure to check out ronmckeefrey.com, where you can join our mailing list, find the show notes, including all the links and resources mentioned, and information about Coach McKeefrey's other products. While you are there, please join Coach McKeefrey in the comments section thanking our guest for sharing. If you haven't subscribed to Iron Game Chalk Talk on YouTube or iTunes yet, make sure to do so. Comments, ratings, and reviews are always welcome. Coach McKeefrey can be found on Twitter at @rmckeefrey. On Facebook and YouTube at @ron.mckeefrey. That's it for this week. Be sure to check back next week for another great episode of Iron Game Chalk Talk.